Blog Talk Radio.
Activate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're going to break the table tonight. Give it to them, and I'm going to give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing. I'm not going to go. There ain't no doggone tomorrow, brother. We're going to do it today, and we're going to do it.
Hold up. Man up.
What are you?
I'm comfortable.
And it's time to man up, man up.
All right, everybody.
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I'm you.
Just answer the damn question.
Man up.
Behold them. Life. Real life.
That's what real men do.
Man up. Shadow.
I'm too strong.
I want a victory.
right. Sorry, we had a little technical difficulties. Our apologies. We got it right now. Once again, we welcome everyone to the Man Up Talk Show. We are on deck. We want to welcome everyone to the show. We're listening to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia. Well, I checked you out earlier. Once again, yours truly, Mr. Naz. And I want to send a special congratulation to my man, Eddie. Eddie, yeah. You on deck? Congratulations, yeah, sir. On the baby.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right, no doubt. Definitely. And I believe we have my brother Darryl in the building. We want to welcome, first of all, those who are checking the show, the Man of Talk Show, as we try to build what we're doing in this movement. We got my brother, other brother here, Darryl Harrington. We want to welcome to the show as another host, of course.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Yes.
All right.
Yes. My brother.
All right. Brother Hassan Black, you know how he does. He's always on the rip and running. He gets off work and he's kind of like getting in the house, getting himself situated, so he shouldn't be joining us. He's a busy man who works for the state as well. So we're going to go around the table real quick. Brother Eddie, how's everything going with the new baby, the new addition to the family, man?
Oh, man, it's to be expected, man. A little bit of sleep, a lot of crying, a lot of change of pampers.
Okay.
But he's a joy. He's a joy to have, and I'm enjoying him. He has a little short temper.
I wonder where he got that from.
Yeah, he got a short temper, man. If he wants something and he can't get it, he just starts spazzing out. But he's all right.
Congratulations, brother. It's always a blessing, man. You know, children are a true blessing, man. And so, for me, my family, to yours, along with Brother Harrington and then my man House, we will congratulate you on your new addition to the crew.
Thank you, sir. Thank
God
you,
bless
thank
you, brother. No doubt. Brother Darryl, what's going on with you and your neck of the woods, brother?
Yes, sir. Well, no blessed news such as that. But, basically, The NAACP of its Oranges Maplewood chapter is celebrating 100 years of activity. 100 years in the struggle. There right
That's
now, there's celebration right now going on at the Grove in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. So if anybody's in the area, that's 691 Pompton Lakes Avenue up there in Cedar Grove. The brothers and sisters are getting it in, celebrating 100 years of service. We've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Not just accepting. I hear you, brother. Definitely. Definitely.
I'm glad to have you back, man. I enjoyed you last week, brother, by the way.
Brother,
this is Brother Eddie, man.
It was a good time, baby. It was a good time.
Yeah.
We're going to keep on having some good times, so, you know.
Listen, I got to kind of ride. I want to give a special shout out to somebody, Brother Eddie. And sometimes we get blessed with certain people and it comes in our lives. And I'm going to say Sig.
Why?
So, yeah, I'm going to tell you why I say Sig. I say Sig because for a lot of reasons. This sister has seen a vision. You know, along with Sister Raven, of course. I'm giving a shout out to my Sister Raven, of course, who helped put it together. Sister Raven, who's on the tune in, we love you. Keep doing what you're doing. She's seen the vision with the brothers. But then, you know, Miss Sig said, "Hey, listen, we love the men coming together and talking about life. Life in general, not just something negative." And just based off that response alone, our numbers don't go nothing less than 600 listeners. So that's a blessing. So, I mean, you know, some weeks is higher, some weeks is lower. But it's just a vision and just to know that there's an avenue and there's a place that men can have a panel to talk about everyday life instead of stuff that's negative.
Right.
I personally had time this week to reflect on what God has given me and bless me being around certain people like you gentlemen and more men like you. It helps me know what my calling is. So I want to say thank you to you gentlemen. Of course, Sig, if you're listening, appreciate what you do and the vision that what you believe in and my brother Eddie and just, you know, keeping it. Hey, look, let the men step up and stand up. We appreciate that.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Definitely. But I think last week you kind of nailed it, guys. Last week was it was a great conversation. It was communication, but it was something that I think that me and my brother Eddie was talking about after us as men, knowing how to talk. And it was crazy. I used to hear, all right, me and my, my spouse, we, sometimes we'll have our debates, I call it. She'll say arguments. and she'll say, she'll say it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You can say the same sentence 10 different times, and it all has a different response in how you say it. And then also what you said last week, brother, when you said us as men, we can't just shut up. We can't just accept just being quiet and bowing down. We have to learn to communicate, learn to convey our message. And when you said that, that resonated something. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, and I thought about it all week long. Communication and the response that we get with it. You really went deep on that, brother. I mean, and Brother Dow, I know you know on your end how communications can you just said it before we got on the show, being a man of your word. if you gonna say you're gonna do something, do it. It's communicating. Not the bullshit. I feel safe. I can say that. But communicating and following through on it. What's the response you're going to get? If you say you're going to do it, follow through on it. What's the response if you don't follow through off your words? But I'm going to turn this over to Eddie, then Brother D. Let's do what we do. And once again, welcome to the Man of Talk Show. Tonight's topic, communication. And Brother Eddie is the one that got this party started.
Communication is, wow. We only have 2 hours, right?
let's see what we can do, bro. Because there's people listening. I know they are. I know you're listening. Just real quick before you start, Brother Dow, you had over additional 20 people following you because you signed on to the show. So congratulations.
He's awesome. That's a given. I'm not surprised about that, man. He's a very intellectual guy, man. And before we even go any further, man, congratulations to your son, Eagle Scout.
Thank you.
We're not downplaying that, brother. We're not downplaying that at all, man.
Thank you. Yeah, he's right here being a smart ass, right? He said thank you. He is you. And, honestly, I'm very proud of him. So I thank you. Thank everybody.
You
he's patting himself on his back now. Oh, my God, jeez. Yeah, oh, my God. But he keeps me sharp, brothers. He keeps me sharp.
No, that's right.
All right.
What we got, brother?
Where we at?
Yeah. Communication, man. Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children, you're talking relationships, you're talking all kinds of things, and it blows my mind, man. Just listening to people in general talk. I was just speaking to a young lady about 2 days ago, and she said it makes no sense how she has 3 children in 1 house being raised by the same person, the same way, but yet they are so different. I said it makes a whole bunch of sense because they're all, where I'm going to go, individuals. You can't raise all your children the same exact way. I don't raise my 3 children the same exact way in regards to responding to them or trying to convey a message. I mean, we all are different learners. You have, your auditory learner, your visual learner, your kinesthetic learner. Please feel free to Google that stuff up if you don't know what I'm talking about, because we can't take our time to, focus on that stuff. But there's different types of learners. There's different types of personalities. You have people who are introverts. You have people who are extroverts, outgoing and stuff like that. So you cannot respond to everybody the same. You have to literally study who you're dealing with so that you can respond to them or speak to them accordingly, so that you can relay a message. And I believe we spoke about something similar to this several shows ago when I told you about the guy that I saw who asked directions to a guy who he found out was that only spoke Spanish. and he asked him for directions, and the guy was like, no habla inglés. And the guy responded, like, he just yelled. He yelled higher in English the same question
to the guy that he was talking to, which is very common for us to do as Americans when we meet foreigners. We think when we yell louder, it's going to help the person understand what they don't freaking understand. And that's a big issue that happens with communication through our frustration and assuming that the way that we communicate is the best way or the only way. We tend to raise our voice and yell, but the person is still not understanding what the hell we're talking about, as opposed to getting somebody to translate the message or trying to find a way to learn their dialect or their language in order to convey a message. We just stick to that one way of teaching. That was my biggest frustration, or that is my biggest frustration with the education system. It's very often, oftentimes, teachers, they only teach in a manner that they learn, which only allows the people that learn the way that they teach or the way that they learn to learn in the classroom, as opposed to everyone getting the lesson.
That's right.
I mean, it's crazy. So, like I said, man, there's so many ways we can go, and I kind of want to go see where my man over here. I apologize. This is burp. That is disgusting. I want to pitch in and kind of guide where should we go with this? Either one of y'all.
What do you think, D? I mean, communication. I mean, what are you thinking when from your everyday experiences?
Well, like Ed just said, we can go 50,000 different ways. There's the relationship between a man and a woman and that level of communication that needs to be made when you're in a committed relationship, married, what have you. There's communication between a man and a woman when you're just trying to get to know you phase.
Yeah, true.
When you try to introduce yourself and they're trying to do vice versa. There's the communication between you and your children, you and your parents, you and your friends. There is communication between you and your employer and trying to make sure that dynamic works straight. There is some ways that we can go about it. But, you know, just as men, as human beings, we have to learn how to basically, I think Ed did say it last week, sometimes we just got to step up and say what we feel needs to be said.
Yeah.
If you feel strong about it,
yeah, true. I got you right.
You know, if this is something that means something to me, let me say something about it. Now, if it's something that I feel left or right about, it's time to take in information. Part of that communication, a lot of people like to talk. Talking is a wonderful thing, but you also have to be a listener. It's an ebb and flow. I need to discern what it is that you are trying to communicate to me in the manner that you're trying to do it. Like the show says, it's not what you say, but sometimes it is. It all relates to how you say it. So that's so true.
Yeah.
So whatever way we want to dance with this one, we can dance with it. Because this is a two-parter. This one's two-parter.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do this then, man. Let's get to the Nas. Let's get to the root of why we are poor communicators, and then once we get there, we can start to fix and peel back things to be able to fix the issue behind the poor communication. I love how you said you have to be a great listener. You cannot be a great communicator without being a great listener. It's different. Now, first we have to identify and understand that there's a difference between hearing and listening. So let's first
say that again, bro. I like that. I heard that before.
We got to first clarify what that means. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Okay. What's the difference between hearing and listening? Okay, say you are walking in the woods, dark, nighttime. You're walking around. Why we would be walking in the woods, disregard that. Just focus on what I'm trying to say here. We're walking in the woods. It's nighttime, and all of a sudden you hear a sound. And because you hear a sound, you stop and you turn and you listen with intent to understand what that sound is.
Okay.
That's when you go from that moment when you heard something, you stopped and you begin to hear, let me change it, you begin to hear with the intent of understanding, that's when you go from hearing to listening originally, and then you'll find out that, oh, damn, that's just a dog barking. So when you were walking in the woods, you were walking nonchalantly, not really paying attention, then you heard something. You heard something that caused you to stop and want to know and understand what it was that you were hearing. The minute you stopped to hear and understand what it is that you heard, that is when you shifted from hearing to listening. So listening, hearing is to just recognize an audible sound.
Okay.
Listening is trying to understand and comprehend what it is that you're hearing. Okay?
Okay.
So a lot of times we just hear our mates or our spouses or the people that we're dealing with just saying stuff as opposed to taking the time to try to understand what it is that they're trying to say, because we're so busy trying to get in our words to try to get an edge on what it is that they're trying to say, or trying to force them to receive what it is that we're trying to give them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is going to transition to us into what causes argument. Now, mm-hmm. in order for you to have an argument, there has to be one of two things going on. For one, there has to be two narrow-minded people to have an argument. Has to be two narrow-minded people. What do I mean by that? The only way you can have an argument is if I am trying to force my narrow-minded views on you, and
okay.
the other person is trying to force their narrow-minded view on me. Otherwise, if we were both trying to listen to each other, i.e. understand where the other person is coming from, not necessarily make you agree with what I'm saying, just trying to understand where you're coming from, there's no way that we can have an argument, because now we are just communicating and talking and trying to understand each other. The only time you get upset or frustrated is when someone's not receiving what you're trying to force them to say. So,
that's deep right there, brother.
In order for you to have a conversation, you have to be intentionally trying to understand where they're coming from, as opposed to intentionally making them agree and feel what it is that you're feeling.
Mm.
Are you following me, or do I need to?
I know. What over some people head, that goes. I mean, it's deep.
Yeah,
I mean,
you understand it.
It's what over some head. I got you, brother. I know my brother Dow. You with us on this one?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
All right. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I'm listening what you're saying. You know, because I hear a lot of times all young people, I hear what you're saying. No. You hear it. You listen to the sounds. Are you listening to the content?
Yeah.
So I'm with you, brother.
And that's why I don't want to leave something without it being understood. So that's what I mean. Come on, Darryl, help me out. Am I sounding clear at all?
No, you're on point with that. You're absolutely 1,000% on point. What we sometimes do, you know what I mean, we're all guilty of, especially about something we feel passionately about.
Exactly.
Passionately about. We hold on to it like a dog to a bone.
When she
says something that is, you know, let's say, counter, right, to where we going with it, it's, you know, fought upon this point. You know, we're going to try to, you're saying this. You're still not listening to me. It could be very well she heard every word that you said, and she may have been listening. She just
disagreed. Doesn't agree. Exactly. This happened probably about a month ago. My daughter, they were in church. And my daughter, my wife didn't go to church and with us that day because she wasn't feeling too well with the baby coming and everything. So the way we sat, my sister sat next to me where my wife normally sits, and normally my son sits next to my wife, and then my daughter sits next to my son, and then my sister's sitting next to her. But since my sister sat next to me, because my wife wasn't there, my son was still in his seat. That left my daughter on the next seat, which caused her not to be able to sit next to my sister, which she likes to do. So my daughter gets up and tells my son to move. And my son says, he said, I'm not moving. He said, this is where I always sit. And my daughter said, well, it's time to change. So my sister interjected. My sister interjected and said, whoa, that's not the way you talk to people. If you want someone to do something for you, you ask them. You don't tell them what to do. She said, I did ask him. He just doesn't listen. Now,
wow.
See, what my daughter was experiencing was what most people experience and what Brother Darryl was just talking about. They assume because people do not respond the way that they picture it in their head to respond that they're not listening or they're not feeling or even understanding what it is that they say just because they don't come to the same conclusion that you come to. That is not true. Like Brother Darryl said, they might very well have been listening. They just still don't feel the way that you do. Now, why is that? I'm glad that you all asked. It's because we are so different as people. None of us have had the same upbringings. None of us have had the same parenting. None of us are necessarily in the same cultures. None of us have had the same teachers. None of us have had the same life experiences through relationships or brothers and sisters and what have you. And those things cause us to, for one, have the experiences, and second, to draw conclusions based on how we are, whether we are extroverts, introverts, auditory, kinesthetic, visual, or what have you, and it forces us to come up with our own conclusions based on all of those things up until that one point, until someone convinces you or persuades you to feel or think otherwise about that particular situation. And because because our life experiences are so powerful, it causes us to assume that everybody has had the same life experiences, which causes them to think or just assume that everybody's going to respond or feel the same the way that they do, which is where that whole common sense thing comes into play and why people throw it out all the time. But we all know that's not to be true.
Just got a, let me interrupt you, brother. Just got a text from Raven. She wanted to express that. She said some people have a hard time expressing themselves and the way they share their viewpoints. What's your guys' assessment on it? This is coming from Raven. She just texted me this.
My assessment to that is those people will always be unhappy. Those people will always be unhappy, and those people will always have a war internally going on with them because they never express their feelings. And people are going to run over them because they're not going to say anything. So if you don't say anything, people are just going to do what they want to do, and you're just going to have to accept it and be upset about it, or you're going to have to move on. But eventually you have to step up and stand up for what you like or dislike, or else you're going to be stuck getting what you're getting. So
what about you, Darryl? What do you think about that? Brother Darryl? I don't know. Do we lose him?
No.
I'm not sure if we lost him. Brother Darryl, you online? Let me see something. Let me fix it. Let me see something. Brother Darryl, you online? I think we lost him. I'm not sure. Hello?
He should be back soon.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure. Yeah, we may have lost him for a hot minute.
Okay,
but listen,
but
get
for
back
the sake
to that.
Of tying up lines, yeah. A person that's like that usually, honestly, is a person that is a person that tries to avoid conflict at all costs. They don't like it. But what people need to realize and understand is conflict is a wonderful thing. It all depends on how you look at it. Conflict is meant to provide you with an opportunity for growth. And the things that you have conflict about are the things that you clearly need to work on, whether it be your communication or your patience or what have you, and then figure out how to grow through that so that you can move to the next level. I say this all the time. The kite does not grow with the wind. The kite grows against the wind. You have to pull a kite against the wind in order for it to rise up to the sky, but if you pull it with the wind, it will not do anything. So you have to go against something in order for you to go on an incline and go up. Same as steps or what have you, you have to step up in order for you to get to a higher level. It's just a matter of just pushing yourself and doing those things that are hard. You know how hard it is to run up a flight of steps or several flights of steps or what have you?
Right.
it's going against something, but it's really, really easy to go downhill, and it takes no effort to go downhill, and you know, we tend to like to go downstairs as opposed to climbing, but with that, you get no muscle, you get no strength in who you are and your being, or your mental capacity, so you have to have conflict in order for you to grow.
Now, I mean, with that being said, I mean, you have a lot of people that that doesn't know how to articulate. You know, you could be in a conversation. You know, you have gentlemen that maybe feel, I would just say straight up, intimidated, whereas you got some of your brothers from the hood that's hanging out with some more of your intellectual friends, you know, that knows how to articulate and communicate with each other, and they feel intimidated. But they, you know, they have important views, or they have important thoughts that they want to contribute to the conversation. How do you help those people? I mean, I understand they got to kind of pull up their bootstraps and wake up. I mean, at what point? I mean, you know that it's good in them, but how do you help them? Or even should we help them? Maybe that's a two-part question.
No. First of all, we leave no that's the only time I agree with Bush, but not in the manner that he presented it, just in reference to the phrase. But we leave no child left behind when it comes to communicating. We want everybody to step up and be better communicators. But my answer to that question on how to help them to become better communicators is simply this. The same thing that my mother did with me, and I'll help you understand the analogy that I'm going to use in a minute. But when I was a child, when I would have a spelling test or math or something like that, my mother, she would tell me to spell a word. So the word might be water. So she might say, son, okay, spell water, to get me prepared for the spelling test. And I'll be like, okay, W-A-T-E-R. And my mom would be like, nope, that's wrong. And I'm like, dang, for real? And she'd be like, no, but you weren't confident, so that makes it wrong, so therefore you don't know it, so go study all your words over and come back to where I cannot trick you or swindle you into thinking that it's not what it is.
Oh, okay, I think we got our brother Darryl back. Let me just make sure. I had two lines on. Let me just make sure. Let me see. Brother Darryl, you online? Okay. Okay, I got him back now. Just give me a hot minute. All right. Yeah, it's got two numbers that popped up. Let me see what we got here. Brother Dow.
Whoa.
Ooh. That's a lot of echo.
Did we just go into the Twilight Zone?
That's your line. We're going to try to. I think we have you on two lines. Let me see.
Goodbye.
Brother Dow, you online?
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. I think we had a little technical difficulty. Brother Dow, you're testing 1-2.
Right here.
Ooh, all right, good.
Okay.
Brother Eddie, be back. Yeah. You called him two lines. He gave us that Twilight effect.
All right. Well, let me bring what I was saying home. So what my mother would do was she would ask me to spell a word. Or she would have me do my math problems, but in this case, we're talking spelling words. So she would ask me to spell a word. So she'd be like, spell water. I'll say W-A-T-E-R. She'll tell me, no, it's wrong. I'll say, really? Dang. I'll get upset and be like, dang, it's wrong. And I say, really? She's like, no, it's not really. It was right. But because you weren't sure, that makes it wrong. And therefore, you need to go and study your words all the way through until you know all of your words to where I cannot trick you into assuming that they're not spelled incorrectly. So what my mother would do was make me go and study until I knew what I knew without a shadow of a doubt, and no one could sway my thought of what I knew. And basically, I say that to say this. People who don't want to stand up for or talk about stuff, they're not really sure about what they're talking about. And it's not until you understand what it is that you're talking about that you will get a passion to speak out about that thing. There's no one in the world, prayerfully, adult-wise, that you can persuade that 1 + 1 is not 2 because they know. When you know what you know, that's when you will speak about stuff and you will have confidence in what it is that you're saying. My mother forced confidence upon me, which caused me to make sure I know what I know before I say it to anyone so that I can't be swindled or tricked into thinking that my views might be something else. Now, that doesn't say that you cannot shine some light on something, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It does say that by the time I say it, I have analyzed every aspect of that thing that I'm going to promote or speak about so that I'm not, for one, sharing something that's not true, and two, not setting myself up to be put on blast and showed up as somebody that has no business speaking about the things that I'm speaking about. So with that being said, to help those people to be better communicators and speak more is, for one, they have to really study the stuff that they want to talk about and better understand themselves and the stuff that they're talking about so that they'll have that confidence to be able to speak boldly about what it is that they want to speak about. So.
All right, all right. That's well said, brother. Very well said. Brother Dow, I mean, just to present to you the same question, I mean, you know, Brother Eddie definitely brought it home. You know, basically I asked him the question. I'm not sure if he was able to check it out. You have a lot of people that doesn't know how to articulate. You know, they feel a little intimidated in certain environments and how to properly communicate. Now, is it something that we can do to help them, or is it something that you got to do to help themselves?
Well, it's a combination of things. I think it's both parts. One, first and foremost, you cannot help somebody unless they want help.
Okay.
If you're not willing to receive help, then there's nothing that you, me, or anybody else can do to help force something along if you don't have that desire to learn or want to change. If you feel there's something that you need improving on, we all have things that we can improve on. And
right.
If you know somebody who can help you to achieve that, it would be just totally ignorant not to be able to receive help, advice, from someone who may know something a little more than you do, or you perceive knows more than you do. So that goes without saying. And then, like I said, after you have come to the point where, you know something, this is not necessarily my strong suit. This is something that I'm good at.
That's right.
But
That's right.
I know that Ed got this backwards, forwards, left, right, up, down. So let me talk to Ed. Hey, let me pick your brain about this.
Okay.
And then I need to be able to discern, okay, this is what Ed is telling me. Okay, I've digested what he said to me in good faith. Now let me see if I can expand upon it and see if I can make it work for me.
That's good. That's good.
Because how it works for Ed may work perfectly well for Ed. It may not work perfectly well for me. I mean, there's some things that are, you know, like what? Okay, like for an example, I'm a little extra. So for which my dad, even
well, I like your brother.
You know what I mean? It's just
right.
that's one size fits all. You know, so you have to, you know, mix and match to see what goes well where I might be able to say something in a certain manner. Nas, you might be able to say the same thing in a different manner. Ed might take the same exact thing and flip it in the same way. We're all coming from our own perspectives, but we're all strong on the same point. So, like I said, that's the beautiful part, you know, about being able to communicate, like on this forum. You're getting your vegetables. You know, you're getting your starches. You're getting your protein. You're getting it all. You can't miss it out on nothing. So
it's funny, as I'm listening to you two gentlemen, I hear now. I'm gonna kind of borrow a little tactic that my brother Eddie used. We talked about it all coming back as being individuals. Am I correct? Is that what you said last week and today, right, brother?
Yeah, it definitely comes.
Yeah. Brother Dow said the same exact thing. We all are different, respectively different. And how we communicate is different. You know, I can say something different. I can say the same sentence that Brother Dow is saying, I can say the same thing that Brother Eddie's saying. You can say the same thing I'm saying and vice versa. But it's how it's communicated and responded. But, you know, as long as that you understand. Like, I have learned to become a better speaker and a better communicator just being around brothers like my man Eddie and, of course, my man Dow. And this forum has allowed me to step my game up. You know, I continue to learn. I'm continuing learning now. But I know that, hey, listen, and like you said, Brother Dow, you know, I want to become a better communicator. I want to become a better communicator in all aspects because I don't believe in this failure. I don't believe in mediocrity. I believe in always trying to raise my game in everything I do in life. So I do agree with you what you're saying because you have to realize if you order to become a better communicator, you got to become a better listener. So I've been listening. I listen to brothers like yourself. I surround myself with men or women that can influence me in a positive manner because I can take that same lessons that I've learned and convey that to my sons, to my children, my family. You know, even during times when my missus may not want to listen to me, it's all good. It's all good. But, you know, I think the fact that we're all individuals and once we understand that, and then also, Brother Eddie, when you said that two narrow-minded people argue because they don't know how to communicate. I agree with you.
That's the ingredients to an argument. You have to have people that are narrow-minded, meaning there's no way I'm going to accept what you have to say. You have to accept what I'm trying to say, and the other person doing the same thing. Otherwise, you will both be just listening with the intent of understanding people. Matter of fact, that's the secret. Those are the secrets to being effective communicators. And we're about to go into that right now. The secret to being an effective communicator is one, to speak without the intent of forcing your views on people. Speak to share your information. If you can play almost every daggone show that I've done thus far on this show and hear me say, I don't care if y'all receive what it is that I'm saying. That is not why I'm speaking. And I'm not, because I have that mentality, you cannot get me upset or frustrated because you're not receiving it. I personally take it as you just lost out on being enlightened or blessed, and I move on. So I share to share. Not all soil is good soil. Sometimes your seeds are gonna fall on concrete. It's not going to manifest or grow in everybody. My job is just to share, and I'm okay with that. See, most people, their job in their mind is to make you see what they see and make you feel how they feel. And I know that that's not possible. You cannot make everybody feel what you feel. You cannot make everybody think what you think. You cannot make everybody agree what you agree with. And when people come to grips with that, you cannot be offended. How can you be offended when you're not trying to make anybody feel the way that you feel? You can't be. So that's one secret. The second secret is you need to speak and hear people with the intent of understanding them. I have yet, since I was young as a child, been offended by someone being racist towards me or anything. If anything, that intrigues me to want to know better your story. Why? What makes you feel that way? What makes you think the way that you think? This is why, and I've come to the conclusion, me and Sig were just talking about this about 2 weeks ago. We have this weird thing about us that makes people just decide that they want to tell us everything about us. And you're talking the first interaction. And I'm like, what in the world made you want to tell me that? It was 2 weeks ago. I got a Facebook request from a young lady. I took the request. She said, I've been following your posts and stuff through my daughter's page or whatever, and I just wanted to request your friendship. And she said, I also just felt the need to let you know that you might find that I'm a lesbian. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, yeah.
And my response was, well, if that's what you do to love yourself, then God bless you. I hope that lesbian thing works out for you. But my whole thing is always, for one, first of all, you can't shock me with stuff that you tell me. And that's what throws people off because they're looking for the shock factor when they share information with me. And I'm like, if I told you a quarter of my story, you will realize that I am numb to shock. You can't shock me when it comes to something that happened that's so drastic or terrible, and I'm just not a person that judges people. Again, and because of that, that caused me to want to understand it, because I know how crazy my life could have ended up had I not dissected what I've been through, which caused me to be the way that I am. So I'm, like my book speaks about, I'm interested in your novel. Your novel is your story up until that point, which pretty much causes you to feel and respond to the things that you do. And I use an analogy in my book, talking about how when I go out with my friends, if we decided to go and eat at a Chinese restaurant, they were like, I'm not eating at no Chinese restaurant. You know, they eat cats and dogs or what have you. Or they say, well, if I go to a Chinese restaurant, the only thing I'm going to eat is shrimps or just foods that I can easily identify and know that that's what it really is. Now, I'm not on this radio saying that Chinese people really do eat cats and rats, but what I am saying is, if they did, what makes them eating cats and rats wrong and us eating beef and chicken right?
Okay. Sorry, interrupt you real quick. Just want to let you know, we got Brother Haas online. Brother Haas on the other co-host is online, everybody. So he just jumped in. Just want to let you know that, Brother Eddie. Sorry to disturb you.
Good evening. I'm here.
What's up, buddy?
I'm here. What's up, Brother Ed?
What's good, baby? Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, glad to be back on this week. What's going on, Nash?
Not too much, brother. You got Brother Dow along with the show. Brother Eddie's going to finish up on a point, just to let you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, brother. I had to bring Haas on.
Uh-huh. It's cool. Nah, so I'm saying, what makes, if Chinese people were eating cats and rats wrong and us eating fish, cow, and chicken right? I said, if you guys grew up in a place or a culture that every day since you were born you ate cat and rat, when you saw someone eating cat and rat, it wouldn't be anything wrong with them. I said, now what if you all took a trip to China and you saw them walking their chicken on a leash and had their cows in the house? That would shift your perspective on them eating cat and rat. And that's basically where I am when people speak and say things. I want to understand what caused you to come to the conclusion that you came to, because in the end, and this is what also helps me not to judge people, in the end, if you get to the root of every person's decision, they're always right. And I'm not saying right in the sense that they feel is right. If you get to the root of the story behind how they came to the conclusion that they came to, they're always right. What do I mean? Okay, you might say, because we always see the end of the story. You might see a guy that just killed some guys just point blank in the head or whatever, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's an animal, you need to kill him. But you might not realize or know that those guys that he shot up molested their niece or their child or whatever. They might not put that in the story. So if you get to the root of why they do things or the rationale behind why people do things, you will find that they might have you. Let me shift my words from saying they're right. You might understand why they did it. We talked about you might not say, okay, dang, they're right. You know, I would have did it, but you might shift your thoughts and say, oh, well, I can understand. I ain't saying that he's right in what he did, but I can understand. Sure. Kind of like when we were saying last week or a couple weeks ago, if you've been trying to get at your wife or your woman or whatever, and you've pulled all the punches and you showed that you were interested and she never gave you any play sexually, and you did that for months, even years, if you decided to cheat after all of that because she kept denying you, I'm not saying that you're right for doing it. I'm saying if someone gave you play and you did do it, I understand. Granted, you should leave if it gets to that point, but I can't sit back and lie and say, dang, man, the dude has been trying to get at you. You've been denying him. I can't say that I don't empathize with him, you know, finally get somebody that showed him that she would give him something, and he did, because he broke. So, again, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that I understand, and that's my whole thing. When I speak to people, I try to understand where you came from, why you felt the way that you felt. Why you feel that I'm a nigger? Were you raised in the South where they call people nigger freely? what makes you feel that way? And then I can potentially enlighten you. But until I understand where you're coming from, I really don't have anything to go by. So that's what I use. I'm not trying to force my views on you, and I'm trying to understand where you're coming from so that we can potentially, for one, find a common ground or just understand each other, not even necessarily agree with where we what I'm saying or how I feel, but just understand or even empathize with your situation, but still not agree with you.
So. Oh, that was really, very well put, brother, very well. Hey, listen, Brother Haas, I'm going to swing this around to you. The topic is about communication. It, you know, with men and women, it's not what you say, how you say it. Also, with the communication and the response that we get. And it's just kind of crazy because the brother said earlier, it's so much that we can go with from this topic alone, just communication, whether we talk to our lady or how we dealing with the job. Or, I mean, I'm talking about every aspect of communication. You know, we're just trying to find them, just shine a light on it. How can we become better communicators? And so far, if I'm just paraphrasing, gentlemen, you know, becoming a good communicator is being a good listener. If I'm paraphrasing some of the summaries, what we said earlier, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, becoming a good listener. I think Brother Dow talked about it in different aspects of how we look at it as far as individual, where we come from, because we all different people. We communicate different. You know, I believe that's some of the conversations that we talked about, Brother Haas. So what is your thoughts on this? I mean, we really want to love, you know, hear your part about communication.
No. How much money?
Hassan.
Yes. I'm here.
You with us, brother?
Yeah.
I'm here. Yeah.
Now, we was asking, you know, what's your assessment on the communication factor, and, you know, not what you're saying, how you say, how do you deal with, like, everyday communication? What makes a good communicator in your eye? You know, I've been asking everybody this whole subject, you know, throughout the conversation.
I think the opportunity really for people to really exhibit great communication is really based on, you know, to me, how we counteract with each other just in a whole. You know, some of us have a tendency to say we're listening, but you really just hear something, you know. And,
we said that, yeah. All the brothers don't agree on that one, bro.
I'm laughing because that's what we said at the beginning. I don't want to repeat anything
you were saying because I haven't heard.
No, you're fine.
Yet.
No, all you're doing is solidifying what's already been said. Keep going, man.
And, yeah, it's ironic that I just sit there and, you know, say the same thing. And I just think that, you know, we really, as men, you know, and I can't speak for women, but I would like to speak on behalf of just men because we all don't think the same, even though some people think we do. But I just feel that, you know, in as far as in, like, especially in a relationship, you know, we all have a tendency to really fall back on listening, you know. I'll speak from my own experience, you know. I've always been told, you know, do a lot of dads on talking, but you don't do no listening. You always talk, but you don't listen. So I think, you know, really the thing about having great communication really relies on, you know, being able to sit still for a minute and to actually pay attention to the person you're with, because we really don't pay attention. You know, you have a lot of people that go around saying, you know, me and my mate, me and my friends, you know, we have great conversation. You know, we have great communication. We get along so well. And then it's like the next day, it's like you don't understand why she couldn't, you didn't remember that you were supposed to drop off something to work for your wife. She just told you the night before, 50 million words or less, to drop something off. But yet you don't do it. So you just have to, you don't sit still enough to be able to comprehend what we really truly need to do with each other. And hold on one second.
All right. Yeah, we got a high for the
I'm sorry.
EPG's not multitasking right now. But we'll keep on going with the conversation. He'll jump back in. I mean, it's funny you talk about relationships, because I really want to get into that. And we got some men listening to the show as well as ladies. How, I mean, when you get to that point in the relationship, you know, whereas, you know, the man has something to say, it's valid. He has a point. He want to go somewhere with this. The woman has something to say. They're still trying to achieve the same goal in rectifying, I guess, whatever the problem is, per se. How can we become better communicators? I mean, I can't speak for me. I can't speak for no woman, you know, for all ladies listening. And I would never try to put myself in that place. I can only speak from a male perspective, my perspective as an individual. You know, maybe I should say that better. As an individual, I can only speak from my perspective. How can we better become better communicators with our spouse when both parties have legitimate, I call it debates, legitimate debates on a topic?
There's several things that I'll go first. There's several things that you should do. For one, take yourself out of your situation and try to find where. First of all, Nas, I'm kind of blown at the fact that you would have that issue. And the reason why I say that, because you do it effortlessly on this show. You will find.
I'm not perfect, brother. I'm not. I mean, Jesus.
No. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying. I'm basically saying use what it is that you're doing on the show when it comes to communicating with your wife. You're good at taking commonalities where most people wouldn't find it, and building off of that. And I would try with a very keen eye and keen ear to hear what it is that she's trying to say that kind of relates to what it is that you're saying. Now, we've stressed about listening and hearing. Now, mm-hmm. How do we test to see if we're listening and hearing?
as opposed to
hearing. So this is what I challenge everybody to do or start doing. When you find yourself in that debate or going back and forth or trying to share or communicate with someone, ask yourself, for one, what's the last thing that they just said? To see if you can remember what's the last thing that they said. If you can't, you're clearly not listening. And two, to find out if you're understanding what they said, take the last thing that they said and put it in your own words. The only way you can put something in your own words is if you understand it. So,
okay.
If I challenge, and this is gonna mess up a lot. This is gonna make a lot of people mad. I challenge y'all for the next week or so, when you have an argument or a disagreement, to ask the person that's supposedly listening to you to repeat the last thing you said at any given moment.
You trying to get a brother snuck in the eye, ain't you? You trying to get a brother jammed up.
Ask them. Hey, this is what we got to do to grow, man. First of all,
I got to put the take on the eye after the fact. After I got caught in the eye with that 1-2 punch.
Yo, if we could all still fit in our baby clothes, that means we did not grow. You got to get up.
I feel you, brother. On that one.
You got to get uncomfortable to grow. So I challenge y'all to ask the person what's the last thing you said. Now, after they ask, you ask them what's the last thing they say prayerfully, they're going to be able to give you an answer. But after that, ask them to tell you in their own words what it is that you said. Now, what's going to happen is, for one, you're going to find out whether you really comprehended it the way that they tried to relate. Why? Because you're going to say it the way that you felt that you heard it. So that gives them an opportunity to tell you, no, that's not the way I was trying to relay that message. That's not what I was saying. So, for one, now you found that the way you delivered your message was not in a manner that was receptive. Two, you got an opportunity to clear that up. Three, now the person is intentionally listening to what it is that you're trying to say, because now they want clarity because they're not understanding how they missed or misinterpreted what it is that you said. That's proper communicating. That's proper communicating, y'all. So, this is my challenge, world.
Well, wait, okay. Let me also add this in. When we are communicating, now we're talking specifically about, you know, your wife, your significant other, that level of communication. Understand that when you tell, when you're communicating something to her, you are telling her something. You're not telling her anything that you feel will harm her in any way. You just want her to understand what it is that you're saying. But we also have to understand, likewise, that this woman obviously does not mean me any harm. She is not my adversary.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We're not going to war here. You know, we're in this foxhole together. For us to turn the bandit on one another doesn't make any sense. So let's try to have a certain level of understanding going into the conversation. We disagree about a topic. Whatever the topic is, whether it's bills, whether it's in-laws, whether it's children rearing, whatever. Whatever the topic is, we have reached a snag. You feel that this is the best way to deal with it. I feel differently. But like you just said, and very well said, too, that, okay,
thanks,
let me make sure that I understood exactly what it is
right,
that you meant. Before, you know, before I hit that button, let me make sure that I
that's
got
right,
you know, let me make sure I got this now. And then,
that's right.
Okay.
That's right, though. He's exactly right.
I do get this. I mean, I believe that you're alien right now, and that something has taken over your mind, because this is crazy to me. What I thought you just said, because it might be my bad. It might
that's
be because
right,
you came
right,
from a different angle. I did not understand it in the manner from which you meant it. So
that's right,
you have to do that. Absolutely.
Brother, you hit something loud. Now, I want to go even further on what he said, because it's going to go back to Nas. Remember, we talked about earlier, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Don't take what I just said, which is a great thing, by the way, and make it negative. You know, you got some people that just want to, you know, they want to get back at you. Oh, so what I say? Oh, yeah, you don't remember, you know, because you're not listening or whatever.
That's
what
right, that's right, 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 right.
We're not doing
no,
this.
No.
We're not
no,
doing
no,
this to try. Huh?
I ain't trying to catch you.
So don't make something that can potentially help your relationship grow cause resentment and cause problems. This is definitely something to help you all to better understand. Now, to take it a step further, this is when you get clarity. He spoke on this. I'm glad he did, because it helped me to bring it to the front of my mind. Tell them what it is that you're trying to get them to do or trying to get them to see, and then after telling them that, tell them why. Now, the why helps them understand you better. The why is the story behind you. No one remembers what you tell them more than they remember the story. I'm going to have to get biblical on you. This is why Jesus spoke in parables. Jesus knew without a shadow of a doubt, if I give people, if y'all listen to anything that I say, I always give you a story. I know that you'll remember the story. And if you remember the story, you're going to have to remember the conclusion behind the story. That's why I always speak in stories. But when you tell somebody or explain to them why you feel a certain way or how you came to the conclusion or why you feel this is the best way, I think we should respond to our daughter or our son in this manner, because you should have a because by that. Don't just say this is the way it is or this is how I feel. Provide them with a because it's the story that is followed by the because, and it makes what you said make sense. Because if I say, don't touch me like that, I don't like when you touch me like that, first of all, you got to understand that that person touched you like that out of a habit because they felt it was the right thing to do, okay? And with any habit, it's hard to break. But if you say, don't touch me like that because somebody touched me like that when they were trying to rape me, they're going to remember that story. And they will, and it'll be easier for them to remember not to touch you like that again. You feel what I'm saying?
Let me
give you a story to help y'all bring what I'm saying home. Okay, I have an aunt that I don't like. Let's just be
clear.
Oh, wow. I don't like her. I don't like her because she's very snooty and uppity, and you know I'm a doctor and just one of those. And at a time, there was a time where I had everybody's email address, and I received one of those warm and fuzzy emails that just makes you happy, and to the point where you say, man, I got to send this to everybody, so you just press select all in your email contacts and blast it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one of those emails, and I sent it to everybody, proud of what I did, because it was just such a nice email. Well, this aunt was a part of my contacts, and she replied to the email saying, I don't like everybody knowing my email address, so if you're going to email me, you need to blind copy me on emails. So I'm thinking about this. She didn't say thank you. You know what I'm saying? It was a nice email. She didn't say thank you or nothing. And she immediately went, I don't like everybody knowing my contact information. Don't. If you're going to email me, send a blind copy or whatever. So I'm like, okay. That was my response. I said, okay, I'll do that. Now, 6 months goes by. I get another warm and fuzzy. Warm and fuzzy email. Not thinking about it. What did I do? I select all, send it to everybody, and I get a call from my mom. Ooh, my sister, she going to get you. She just sent you an email putting you on blast. She told you not to send her an email with everybody attached to it or whatever. I said, ooh, well, she about to get a lengthy email back because I'm just as good with words as she is with words. She said, well, you better not talk to my sister like that. I said, well, I hope she ain't say anything that's going to cause her to get the business, like she thinks she's going to give me the business. So I said, you know what, Mom, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to delete the email because I do not want to go off on your sister, and I'm just going to delete her, and I ain't going to talk to her again. I'm not dealing with her. So I deleted the email, didn't talk to my aunt for 3 years after that. 3 years, cut her off. When I cut people off, I cut them off. So I cut off 3 years. Now, me and my sister, we were conversing, having a conversation. How we got on the conversation about my aunt, I don't know. But we started talking about how we don't like her, how she's so uppity. She thinks she knows everything and da-da-da-da-da. So my sister, I said, and that caused me to tell the story that I'm telling you. And she said, well, you know why she didn't want you sending that email like that? I said, because she's an uppity snob. And she just trifled. She thinks she's better than everybody. She feels that she's so important that no one should know her information. She said, no, 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 no. She said, Dad was attached to your email. And you remember Dad, when he was beating on Mom, he stabbed her 8 times in the back. He beat her up and her husband, too. And she still has to get counseling because she remembers that and she still worries about Dad. That messed my whole psyche. I'm like, dang, had she told me that, the minute I get a warm and fuzzy email, I would immediately thought about who? My aunt. Why? Because if she told me that story, that would have helped me to stop a habit that could potentially hurt her as a person. Are y'all following what I'm saying? It's the story that you give people behind why you feel the way that you do or why you think the way that you think that will cause them to remember and possibly respond to you the way that you want them to respond to you. But if you just tell them, don't talk to me like that, don't do it like that, don't say this or don't say that, they're not going to receive it. But if you give them a story behind why you feel that way, why you don't want to raise your child that way, why you respond to her that way when she talks to you that way, that's when she'll be more receptive to not doing that towards you, or he'll be more receptive to not treating you that way. Because, again, like he said, first of all, we're in a relationship, which means we like you. we like you. We're not
really
going to be
like
in
you,
a relationship.
Right?
We're not going to be in a relationship with somebody that we don't like or love. So we are not intentionally trying to harm you. But we might have habits based on our life experiences that causes us or molds us to who we are that we might have a hard time breaking. But your story can very well break that. But we got this whole mentality. For one, we were raised by parents that said, because I said so. So we never learned how to communicate. Second, we were raised by parents that brought us up as children, and when we got into an argument with our brothers and sisters, what do? They sent us in different rooms. So we were taught to not talk about stuff, just to run away from it. Our parents did it.
That's a good point.
It absolutely makes no sense. When my kids get into stuff, I send them in the same room, and they can't leave until they figure it out. they gotta spend time with each other. So it's for one, get into the root of the things that we do, communicating in a manner that they understand why, so that they can now work on trying to break a habit. Because like I said, they're doing things with that they think is love. You know, Nas, I mean, you fell in love with the chapter in my book. It's not that they don't love you, y'all just don't love alike. When you can understand and grasp those concepts, that's when you can appreciate and make the different changes that are necessary to make you a better communicator. But I'm not going to talk your heads off.
Brother. That was very well said, brother. Very well said. You know. Yep. Now, but Brother Haas, you back with us?
I'm here. I've never left.
Okay, no doubt. Now, listen, I'm glad that you kind of like led into this, Eddie, about the response that you give in communication. Let's kind of go into that. A lot of people don't understand, for those listening, once again, big shout to Brick City, 9/11, Orange Police, East Orange Police, and all our law enforcement guys out there that tune in. Don't worry, I'm going to get you on the show eventually, so don't be a punk when I see you in court. But, I mean, it's the response. I'm glad you said that about the response. You know, a lot of us men, I'm going to say men because I'm just paraphrasing from the men I've spoken to already. A lot of men sometimes go, I don't understand why she feels this way about me, because maybe you didn't explain why you don't like certain things. Maybe you didn't explain. I'm very glad that you said that, because it's definitely a response in how you communicate. Men, men, some, not say all men, I mean, I put everybody in the same bowl. Some people sometimes talk to their spouse, their mate, their girlfriends, even our young people, especially our young people, because it amazes me. These young guys automatically assume what a young lady wants, you know, yo baby. You know, maybe that's not what she wants, you know. It's a response. It's definitely the response, and I'm very glad you said that. And I tell my son all the time, and I know Brother Haas talks to his son all the time, when you're communicating, explain in detail what you expect when you're dating a young lady, or you're courting a young lady, or you're trying to get with her, whatever you're trying to do. Put your expectations from the table out there, straight up. Look, this is what I do. This is who I am. I'm busy. I'm in school. You know, if you can be a part of that, then we can get down. That's it. You know, and look for the response. Don't get mad at her when she's like, you know, why you don't call me? I mean, I just told you before, I'm running track, or I'm sitting there doing sports and all that. You know, you have to put it out there. So I'm very glad that you said that. You know, I just want to hear from you guys' point of view about response and communication.
It's just listening to Brother Ed, you know, it was like, that was really like refreshing. The whole scenario, how you put it with the story, that was really, really nice. I mean, I listened to that in detail, and you know, it does pretty much come back to specifics. You know, we definitely don't specify what it is that we truly desire or need from each other. You know, that whole aspect of the communication gap is really unnecessary if you use specifics, you know. And, you know, like you said, you know, we try to get out here and we try to court people, date people. We try to, you know, keep it on the real level. You know, we're trying to push up. We're trying to do whatever it is we're doing. And, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, it does come back to specifics, because you pretty much can get anything you want. You know, I hate to use this term, but, you know, sometimes you have brothers out here that just got it like that, you know, and they get out here and they meet so many different kinds of women. And then you sit back and you say, well, how come you have so many different kinds of women? You always seem to keep batting 100. You know, you never seem to strike out. What is it that you're doing to get these women, the good ones, the bad ones, and the ugly ones? How are you getting them? And then at the end of the day, it's like, what you do? And he says the same thing we all have generally just said in this conversation, which is, I told her what I wanted.
You know,
it really does come down to specifics. what do you want? Because you know a lot of women have a tendency to ask you, the first thing they say to you after, what's your name, your phone number, how many kids you got, me baby mama. The first thing they say after that is, so what do you want from me? Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's a question raised to raise an eyebrow. That's actually a great question to ask me after you give me third degree of what's your name, who you where you work, how many baby mamas, how many. Once you give me that round up, you know, to ask me, so what do you want from me, is not bad. To me, actually, what that did was open up the bridge of communication. Because now he asked you your specifics. And in return, now she wants to know, okay, you need to learn my specifics because I want to know what you want from me. So I can tell you where we're going to go because this conversation can start or it can end right from that question.
That's right.
What do you want from me?
Right.
So I fully believe in, you know, the whole idea of being able to get to the point and express yourself in detail without having to have a cloud of mystery of who, what, where, and why. When you can answer in one single question, you know, what? What do you want from me?
Yeah.
You know, I just
where you at, man?
Yeah, I'm right here, man. Just listen.
Oh, okay.
We all in.
Yeah.
You know, that's my man. I like to hear you speak, bro. I'm just like, what's going on?
Yeah,
brother.
I just wanted to say that, you know, but I'm just all for being pretty much in detail, you know, and I mean, like I said, again, I have to reiterate that what Ed said, you know, it struck a chord with me. I liked how he put that because that was excellent, you know, and I really, you know, just have to give you a big up for that because I just love the story with the conclusion, you know.
Thanks.
This
sir.
Is where I'm going. That's what communication does if you fail at communication. You know, now you're sitting in the file, scratching your head, saying, well, if you would have told me, I would have known.
Yeah.
Same thing goes in a relationship. You know, I'd like to have my back massaged when I come home from work. But in essence, what do you do when I come home from work? First thing you do to me is say, take the garbage out. Take the garbage out. You don't need that back massage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but you take the garbage out. Now I'm looking at you with the screw face like, you don't lost your mind. Are you supposed to rub my back? Okay, so you don't want to rub my back. I got to take the garbage out. Now I take the garbage out. Now my back hurt more because I basically just need to take the garbage out. No communication. You know, I mean, it's a crazy scenario, how I put it, but it's like, well, at least you know when I come home, I don't like to get my back rubbed. Yeah, take the garbage out. But, yeah, I mean, that's just my input for that particular thing. But, yeah, it's definitely specifics means a lot, and I think it takes more of a lot of the weight off of a person in any form of than to just sit back and, like I said, scratch your head and not know.
Yeah.
Very well said, brother. Very well said. Very well said.
Hey,
brother D.
Now, after I hear from D, man,
it all starts, like I said, it all starts at the beginning. Like I said, there's communication, like I said, when you're in that relationship that you're already in, your marriage, your significant other, y'all are in this together. Y'all are in the foxhole together. Now, when you're just meeting somebody and you're trying to determine whether or not is this a foxhole situation or is this a different type of hole situation, you know what I mean? What it is that we have here, it's to say it's a similar circumstance. One, you need to get off the information. I think Ha said it perfectly well that, you know, I need to tell you what I want. This is what I didn't come for the free fixings. This is what I came for. This is why I am here.
Right.
So, no more, no less. I'm not trying to sway you. I'm not trying to deceive you. I'm not trying to mislead you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you get a stalker, and that's how you get a case. This is perfectly clear. This is why I'm here. This is what we're doing. Now, do you understand? Now, what once you sign off on this agreement, we're perfectly good. We understand.
Exactly.
We understand exactly what we're talking about here. You know, we ain't talking about what's going to happen, you know, 5, 10, no. Tonight, it's Friday. We're having a good time. We're enjoying each other's company.
That's right.
You know,
that's
there
right.
might be cheese fries at the end of the night. Maybe. You know. So it's that level of communication. Just keep it real. If we keep it real, everything works out. Okay, you ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie. just say what you want. You know, say what you mean what you say. Now, once you get that part, see, somebody can't come back to you with, well, you said, no,
exactly.
I didn't.
Exactly.
I told you from gate. Now, if you thought that you could persuade me to change my feelings on the subject or change my mind and you just want to run with
you
until
that's
I change
you.
My mind, that's completely on you. That's
love
all
it. Love it.
You,
you're exactly
girl,
right.
You knew from the door where we were.
You had me having flashbacks of when I was in the game, man. you got me having flashbacks of when I was in the game. I promise you.
But it's honesty.
Yeah, and I've always been that way. And honestly, and a quick tip, females, I'm gonna let y'all know right now. I prayed on that. I don't know what kind of epiphany I had as a younger man, but I prayed on the fact that I don't know what day, what time frame, if y'all have a little party or something, that you guys come to this conclusion, but I will play and I will pray on the fact that for some reason you all felt that you guys had the best vagina in the world. Meaning that you might know that I was dealing with someone, and I would let you know I'm dealing with someone, and I would tell you that at the very best, you could be like the second best, but this is my main person that I'm dealing with.
So this right now.
Wow.
So if you want to go there, we can go there or whatever. And I will play on the fact that I know in your mind that you're going to say, okay, he feels that way until he gets this cookie. And once he gets this cookie, his mind is going to change. And when that happened, and my mind never changed, they will get to this point where, you know what, I'm feeling you, I'm feeling more than whatever, and I want more time. And I'm like, whoa, this was not the agreement.
Right.
This is not what's going on. I put all the cards on the table. You made a decision. Just because you caught feelings has nothing to do with me. I let you know because you decided to make the decision and go that route. That's on you. I gave you all the cards or whatever, and it's so interesting. Like you were just saying that earlier, Hassan. That there's a lot of guys that are just honest, and sadly enough, and I'm just going to keep it funky, sadly enough, there's a lot of females that don't feel that their value is high enough to say that, well, then that's not the cards that I want to take, and move on to someone else. They're willing to just go ahead and take them cards or take them dice and potentially crap out just in hope that they're going to get a happily ever after. I always be honest, but I cannot allow you guys or us to leave this without getting to the root of why we don't communicate well or provide those things, the specifics behind why we do or feel the things that we do, and it's because I say, and I'm willing to throw this statistic, I say 80 to 90% of the people don't really know themselves anyway. Nope. That's why we're not capable of doing those things. We don't have, and this is my challenge to you all, is to learn yourselves. And the way you learn yourself is ask why so you cannot ask why anymore. Why do I get mad when this word is said to me? Why do I get upset, or why do I get sad when this happens to me? Why? And when you can answer all those whys about yourself, now you have stories to share behind why you do or feel the things that you do. But we don't get to the core of the why. We just accept that we we are that way and say stuff like, well, that's just the way I am. You know, get over it or whatever. You're just going to have to take me as I am, Mary J. Blige. That's the way it is, you know, or have nothing at all, as opposed to, for one, you for one, having something to share so that they can really say they're taking you as they are, because you don't even know you. A lot of people don't know themselves. It's crazy, and I use this analogy all the time because females say, I speak to a lot of females, and I even guys, too, say they want to be happy. Man, I just want to be happy. And I'll ask, and I have yet to find somebody that can give me a clear, specific definition of it. I say, they say, man, I just want to be happy. I say, okay, well, what does that look like? What does happiness for you look like? And they're stumped. And then I'll go and I'll say this, okay, I say, all right, well, say you're a parent and someone kidnapped your child. You call the police and you get all the police or whatever, they come to your house and they ask you, what's the first thing that the police are going to ask you when you tell them that your child is missing? And they all say the same thing. What do they look like? Give me a description. And you describe your child so that, in turn, they will find that child. So why is it that you are walking around trying to find happiness with no description of it?
That's
how
great.
Can you find something that you don't know what it looks like? You're probably walking past it every single freaking day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what it looks like. You can't find it. So
that's
until
right.
you can define what you're looking for, you're going to be looking for something you have no idea, and you'll always be insatiable. You'll never be happy because you don't know what you're looking for.
Mm.
So
yeah.
My challenge to you is, if you don't know, you can't describe what happiness is to you. For one, that's why you're not happy. Two, you're never going to find happiness. Three, we have to learn how to understand ourselves so that we can, in turn, help other people understand ourselves. Most people can't get their mate to understand them because they don't know what the hell is going on with them.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
You need to ask why. If you can't ask why anymore in regards to how you respond to things, what makes you mad, what ticks you off, what frustrates you, whatever, you need to ask yourself why it is that is. And then you keep asking why, and when you get that answer, you say, well, why is that? And then, well, why is that? And then, well, why is that? Until you can't say why anymore. And then you have gotten to the core or the root of you, your being, why it is that you are. Nas always says, man, you really go in. That's because I spend my life going in. I have to understand why stuff is the way that it is so I get to the root of it, as opposed to just putting Band-Aids on symptoms and wondering why other symptoms they keep popping up because I didn't get to the core of what the problem is. So, again, I get off my.
Nah, man, you hit it. That's exactly it. I had this service position. No lie, it's crazy how you just had said about the happiness factor. You know, communication with two people. Sometimes we get misconstrued what that happiness word means. So, you know, we don't really choose who our mates can be. I always believe, you know, that a higher being brought that person to you. No matter what it's for, no matter why they came, he brought that person to you. Now, for me, it's like I had this conversation today with my daughter and her mother. My daughter was living in Georgia. She's back up here in Jersey now. And we was talking about happiness. So, and, oh, wow, all my friends have kids. I said, listen, that's going to come. That's new time. I said, but what you have to do is you have to be able to communicate with this person that possibly will be the person that will help you to have a child and bear a child and raise a child. I said, you're not being picky and choosy, but you're doing more choosing than picking. You know, I choose him because he is well-to-do. He has a degree. He has money in the bank. He has a good job. You chose him. You automatically chose him based on a description. But you never picked him. You know, you chose him because he already has a guideline. He has a recipe. You know, he pretty much has a table of contents. You pretty much know who he is in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
But you never pick, because the guy that was standing right next to him makes $30,000 to $5,000 a year. He has a car. And he got an apartment. He won't say 40, but he can't do nothing with it. He makes 40,000. You know what I'm saying? But you didn't pick him. You chose this other one. But you could have picked him, because that guy right there has a heart of gold. His mind is in the right place. He will listen to you. He will talk to you. He will understand you. He will guide you, help you, support you, and comfort you. That's the elements that you need for someone that can help you have that child, that can be there for you. Mind, body, and soul. That's your soulmate. That's the guy that's going to take care of you. But this guy, you chose him because he already has a guideline. You pretty much know who he is in a nutshell. The problem is you have no idea who he is. So you just chose him. You know, so that whole aspect of the communication and being happy and being able to bear down all these obstacles. Because we definitely need to talk to each other. I mean, it's more than just sit down, let's have a 20-minute conversation over tea. You know, in 20 minutes, only thing I'm going to get out of you is, oh, well, that's what you do. You really can't get the gist of who are you? Where can we go with this? You know, I personally, I've always been a person, like a lot of people say, well, dang, Hoss, you know, mad women. You know so many women. You know, it's a curse and it's also an addition in my life because I know a lot of women. I have six sisters. I have three daughters. Women have been a focal point of my life. My mother's the only child, so all I know is aunt this, uncle that. But they're my cousins, but they're older, wiser. So for me, I grew up with a bunch of older brothers and sisters that are much older than me, and I listen. I learned to listen. And this, like, for Brother Ed, I know you don't know, but if you ask me, I can tell you, I'm like a walking jukebox. I know so many different types of music. But what it is, I listened as a child to everything. And as I got older, I listened to all those sisters. I always had a pretty girl in class that was going after roughneck dudes. And I'm sitting here like, why not me? Because I didn't talk to her, but guess what? She became a friend. So I know a lot of women from talking. So if I open my mouth and talk to somebody, I don't open my mouth because I'm questioning. It's because I'm inquisitive. I will ask you questions. I will want to know. And I'm going to listen to you. So it's very important that we do understand that, you know, that opportunity of happiness is from within. But you still need to learn other people. You know, and we don't take the time to learn. So, you know.
There you go. Exactly. Very well said, brother. Very well said. Brother D.
Yes, sir.
I know you're going to chime in on this one, because after you do that, Raven wants, she's got a text from Raven, and she wants to readdress that other question again. I think we have a couple of new listeners to also tune in. So, Brother D, you first, man, about the response and on top of the topic of communication.
Well, basically, like I said, I mean, we've all hit it pretty much to where it's going. That we just gotta be about it. We have to be able to listen to what's being said to us. I mean, really, really listen. And what Ed said about understanding oneself, bravo. I mean, you do have to know where you're coming from. There's no way for me to understand where you're coming from when I don't understand where I'm coming from.
Good point.
Not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, we got to be able to go, all right, this is what I am after. This is what I'm about. This is where I am at this stage in my life. This is what, now where you are, let's say, when you're 20s, your 20s, where you are in your 30s, and then 40 plus, are very different stages in your life.
Mm-hmm.
there is, you know, you're trying to establish yourself, you're trying to establish a career, you're trying to make your mark, you're trying to reach your dreams, you're trying to reach your goals, and, you know, then sometimes life circumstances happen to you, and you're dealing with that too. You know, you got somebody who's coming in, like, I think Ed put it best where, you know, when you meet people, you want to know their novel. You want to know their story. What's the backstory? What brought you to this dance? Why? What got you here? Mm. That's a very important thing because we're all coming into it with something. When we're younger, our goals are more superficial. They're not anything that's very deep. For some of us, it's a big button to smile. For some sisters, it's, you know, what you drive and how you live in, you know, what, how you doing. You know, it's that type of thing. It's got nothing to do with anything that's going to sustain you. There's nothing to do with anything that's going to carry you through. I mean, would you rather be with someone that has $1 million that, you know, treats you like you're worthless? Or would you rather be with somebody who the world would say is worthless but would treat you like $1 million? Mm. I mean you want somewhere in the middle. Want somebody who is, you know, genuinely there for you. You know, they're genuinely, that's why they're there. It's not, you know, what I can get from you, but it's what I can bring to you. That's my objective. It's what I can bring to you. You know what? That is pretty good what you got right there. But if you add this to that, then it becomes this. Mm. I'm not asking you for anything in return. I'm asking to add on to. And then if that feels the same, then you got a recipe for success. That's whether it is personal or even business. You know, if, you know, look, what you got is a skill set that I don't have, but I don't see you with this skill set right here. Now, if you incorporate this to what you're already doing, this will take you from where you are to where you're trying to get to. It's about incorporation. So that's what incorporate means. It means to bring entities together in order to make it something greater.
Good.
We're incorporating. This is what we're doing. We're incorporating the four stuff right now, incorporating. We're taking what each of us have, we're putting it right in the middle of the table and saying, here it is. Now, we all stand very well on our own, and that's a blessing. But when brothers come together, there ain't nothing better. You know what I mean?
There's
nothing better than that. So, you know, here we are, here we stand, and, you know, other brothers will come in and add to it. And, you know, the more that you add to it, especially if you're coming from a positive point, you're coming from a positive place, you get positive energy back. I'm giving nothing but love to you, brothers. You've given nothing but love back to me. How can I not be greater for that? I mean, and in communication with one another, if we sometimes, okay, I try to filter out the negativity. You know what I mean? If, you know, if you're coming at me with a whole bunch of yada for no reason, obviously something going on with you.
Yeah.
You know, that it's got nothing to do with me personally. You know, it's not me because either I don't know you or haven't done anything to you. I came and I said hello. Here you are in this state. Okay, now, if we need to incorporate, okay, I first have to find out, okay, why are you here with me in this manner?
Exactly.
Here with you.
Exactly.
You know, but sometimes what we do is we take it personally. Why am I going to be mad at you because you're mad at me? Does that make sense?
No, not really.
You just because you're mad at me. Now, you might be mad at me for a valid reason. I left the toilet seat up. It was dark. You went in the bathroom and there it was. You know, that's a valid reason to be upset with me.
I got you.
I'm totally with you. That's a valid reason to be upset. Or it could be the boss was on you all day. You know, the kids is acting funky. You know, you know, I was supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and I didn't. You know, you're sitting in the kitchen, and you're just rotating all this through your head.
Mm-hmm.
I turn the key, I open the door. Hey, sweetie, how was your day? Last. It is right now.
Bye,
it's
bye.
On right here from Hello, Sweetie. Oh. How was your day?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Why am I going to get angry with? I already understand that you're angry. Now,
mm-hmm.
If I want to get to sleep tonight, if I want to sleep with both eyes closed instead of one eye open, I need to determine what it is that got you where you are.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
If there's some blame for me to take in this, let me take my share.
Exactly. Yeah, you do me a favor. Let me just interrupt you for a hot minute. I think we have a call from Merrill. Let me see if they're online now. Let me see. Open this line. Here we go. Okay, Merrill and Anton.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hello. You're online with the Man of the Talk Show.
Hey, how's it going? This is Rich from Maryland.
Hey, how you doing,
how you
brother,
doing,
Marilyn?
What's up, brother?
You know, actually, my missus has just identified the area code. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you. I'm a native of Newark, New Jersey. You know, I grew up in that area, and he's been hitting on some key topics. And if I'm not mistaken, is Hassan Black in the house tonight?
Yes, sir. Hassan Black is online, brother.
Well, Hassan Black will remember me. I was the, not to, you know, go sideways with it, but I'm that trumpet player out of Columbian School.
Rich Leverett?
Yeah, this Rich Leverett, man.
My man.
What's up, dog?
My man.
How you doing? Beautiful thing, man. I appreciate what you guys got going, man. I mean, it's second to none.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, to all the hosts that's there, man, it's amazing how soon people forget, even dating back when I was younger. You know, a lot of this stuff that we have that's superficial, like my man was saying, it wasn't there. You know, like playing, you know, these things that mean so much to people now, how soon people forget how, you know, you kids got cell phones and all of this stuff, iPads, whatever. We didn't have all this stuff. I mean, that's a bill. That's, you know, that's a bill. That's a major bill. You know, that's stuff that we didn't grow up with. Now, a bill with us, you know, I mean, we, you know, parents used to kick us out of the house or whatever, you know. That was the thing to do. You know, go outside and play. Be a kid. You know, be a kid while you get a chance, because you're only a kid once, but you'll be an adult for the rest of your life.
Amen, brother.
You know, I mean, you know, so, you know, people, you know, kids, they start off young and they want to be older, but they don't realize and notice that this is a big responsibility to anything and everything. Success is a responsibility.
Yeah.
You know,
right, brother.
A lot of people have a fear of responsibility or a fear of success, I might say. It could be. A job, sports, relationships, anything that can uplift you or make you better. A lot of people have these fears of it because there's a responsibility behind it, because people you got to own up to it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I can attest
you have to own, you
I've
have
been
to own
a,
up
I've been
to
a victim
it.
Of that.
Well, we all have, but
yeah.
You, God is the best of planners, because you had to go through what you had to go through to get to where you at now. So, but
that's right.
If that
that's
didn't
right.
make you better, then it kept you stuck and stagnated on, guess what, bumping your head, getting all these hickeys on your head. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
right.
we all got lumps on our heads now. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You, you brought, I'm glad you stated what you stated. This is Brother Eddie, by the way. Glad you stated what you stated, because technology is a huge factor in why we are poor communicators nowadays. And you hit the nail on the head. Back in the day, we didn't have all that stuff. And a lot of people say, well, what happened? We used to talk very well to each other. We used to communicate very well. Well, that's
exactly.
Because we didn't have so many other things that occupied our mind. We only had
right.
a few channels on our TVs.
Right.
All we had was letters or a telephone call. So when
right.
we were sat in the room with each other, we had no choice but to talk. Now we have Twitter. We got
just everything at our hand. Yeah, we got everything. So so it kind of we're fighting against a lot of things that keep us from communicating amongst one another and to identify
directly.
And to identify that is definitely something that you can use to better communicate. And I stated that in one of the shows that we were talking about. If technology is an issue that you're having, use technology to win your spouse or your mate back. Start texting them back and forth. I don't care if you're on the same damn room.
Well,
if you like texting, text them, but use that to grow as opposed to bring you guys apart.
To,
go ahead.
Right, to enhance people instead of degrading them or whatever. But you know what? You made a good point because a lot of people don't realize that technology is growing, which is making the mind physically and mentally more lazy because you have these things that
mm-hmm.
are taking over your mental capacity, which I had as a kid. I mean, I read, write, and speak better than most.
I agree.
I mean,
I agree.
And it's a shame that here it is. I mean, even when people are texting and they're doing all this stuff, have you seen the words that people try to spell?
Have you seen
how people spell? They spell the way they
like
speak,
they talk.
Which is
that's
sad.
Right.
It's sad.
That's right. No. Actually, it's sad that they speak in a manner that will cause them to spell incorrectly. So if we're going to address the problem, let's address the problem. So if
right,
you're talking... If you're talking in a manner that causes you to spell incorrectly, there's two problems.
Right.
So you need to check the way that you're talking.
Right.
Yeah, you need to check
exactly.
the way you're talking
so,
as well as work on your spelling. Not to mention, there's a lot of things that prevent us from actually learning how to spell. It's now when you text or type, the thing spells it for you, so you're still not forcing yourself to learn how to really spell the word. And that's even on Microsoft Word when you're typing. So there's a lot of things that are actually dumbing our children down that I'm currently fighting against and trying to come up with ways to help use those things to better them as opposed to make them less less. I mean, you're talking. That's a whole nother topic. How they're decreasing the grade point scale and stuff, and having these children thinking that they're smart, as opposed to actually just bringing the scales down to bring their results up to make them seem like they're doing a good job. It's a lot of issues that need to be addressed, but that's a whole nother topic. We can't go there today.
It will be a topic later.
All right, but I mean, it was just something that was on my mind, and I give you brothers a lot of respect. Keep doing what you're doing because each one teach one, and guess what? Everybody needs somebody, brother, and we definitely need y'all out here, brother, because y'all are some stand up brothers, man.
God bless you, sir.
We appreciate that, man. All day, really do.
And before I sell off, yo, hey, Hassan Black.
Yes, sir.
It's 36 years with that trumpet, bro. When I do what I do, man. 36 years.
No problem.
As a matter of fact, them brothers don't know that brother was mean on them drums on the percussion. He turned it up, man. That's some music for life, right there.
Hey, Rich, man, love you, brother. Real talk, man. You know, we go way back, like you know. Sneakers and dad going parts on the side of our head. So we go back like park oranges, man. Hey man, I just wanted to show you some love. I'm real happy to hear your voice though, for real, man, because I ain't seen you in a minute. I'm just
likewise.
Happy that things are doing well for you, and congratulations again on that engagement, homie.
thanks again, I appreciate it, and keep up the good work, and once I saw you, man, I can't do nothing but represent, man. Keep up the good work, fellas, man, and I'm staying tuned in. I can't wait till the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in, bro.
We appreciate it, man. But thank you, Brother Rich, out of Maryland, for showing the love, originally out of New Jersey. And, of course, Brother Eddie, you know, for those who are just checking out, Brother Eddie is from Jersey, too. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah. born in Patterson, raised in Jersey City. Yes, sir. Van Auster Avenue.
no doubt. We're going to put Brother Rich on mute right now. Listen, guys, you know, the show's been awesome so far. You know, we got about maybe 9 minutes left of the show. So we're going to kind of come to conclusion. We're going to spin it around the room and come to conclusion on the communication aspect. So let's start, of course, with my man, Brother Haas. We're going to come to conclusion, man. What is your thoughts on this whole communication and how we deal with everyday life and responses?
Well, again, like I said, communication seems to be a lost entity out here. we've been doing a lot of things in this world lately, especially for the younger generation that's coming up now. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to reciprocate either, because there's a lot of people that want so many things, and they're not really difficult to attain. And we just have to understand each other and put forth a better quality of communication. And I think that, you know, we as men, raising these younger men that's in this generation, that's in the now, have to be able to teach them that, listen, the only way to be able to have something with staying power is to know what you're doing. You know, you have to come at your mates with equality. You know, it has to be equality. It has to be a give-and-take situation. You have to listen. You have to learn. You have to adhere to what's going on in your life. So I just think that, you know, the communication factor these days has to become more prevalent and not be something that's absent. And we just have to make sure that, you know, like we all been saying during the course of this show this evening is, you know, you have to give back what you, and tell people what you want compared to just saying, yeah, I need that. You know,
very good, brother. Very well said.
Tell them what you want.
Brother Darryl,
sure.
Round to you, brother. What's your conclusion on this topic?
On the topic of communication, we just need to remember, you know, when we're in a relationship with people, we have to understand that, okay, we both mutually agree that we are in this together. No one means the other person any malice. So what they're saying is coming from a good place. Now, it might not be communicated in the manner in which we might want it, or we're readily able to receive it. So sometimes we just need to take a step back, not take it so personally. Listen to what's being said to you. Try to make sure that you have the proper understanding of what's being said to you, and vice versa, to make sure that the person understands what it is that you're saying. We just have to remember that it's coming from a good place. It's coming from, you know, a place of not necessarily divisiveness. The subject might be divisive, but remember, the union that you have isn't. That's basically it.
Hey, good, definitely very good. You know, I'm going to spin this out, of course, to my brother Eddie right here. Brother Eddie, you with us, brother?
Yeah, where I'm going, man.
I know, that's right, bro. I've been in awe and just really admire what's going on. But, Brother Eddie, you know, what is your conclusion? You know, help close this out.
Communication starts with self first. You have to the first know yourself and figure out the process of learning how to understand you. When you figure out how to learn and understand yourself, use that same process to learn and figure out and understand someone else. Then don't share to make people change. Share to help people understand you. That's what causes arguments. You're trying to force people to see things your way as opposed to just sharing your views. And then tell why you came to the conclusion that you came up with, because people do not remember what you say. They'll remember the story, and then they'll act accordingly. People, they usually respond based on their habits and what they feel is right, as opposed to what they feel is necessarily right for you or what you will respond. Remember, opposites attract. So the way that you might respond is not necessarily what your opposite is going to respond the same way. So keep that in mind and figure out how they will want to be responded to and respond to them accordingly, as opposed to the way that you want to want them to respond to you, because opposites attract. So more than likely they're going to want an opposite response from you, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, great stuff. I mean, definitely great stuff, guys. I got to give a round of applause to all the gentlemen that is on this panel, Brother Hassan Black, Brother Darryl Harrington, and, of course, my brother Eddie Fairley, and, you know, all those have been checking out from Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, and, of course, my brother Rich on, you know, has been tuning in. We appreciate the support. Just real quick, gentlemen, is there anything happening in your respective areas in the community that you may want to tell some of our listeners? We've got about 3 minutes left. I know you want to kind of reiterate,
The NAACP of Orange is in Maplewood is celebrating their 100th anniversary tonight in Cedar Grove at the Grove. It's going on right now. It's going on until past midnight. So if you're in the area, if you're in Essex County, New Jersey, come in, stop by, get a plate, and let's support the cause, because, you know, we've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Brother Haas, is there anything happening on the war front with you? What's going on? Any gigs? Anything is going on with you?
Well, right now, I'm enjoying the last day of my vacation. I'm going to have a couple of prospective things, though, coming up. I actually may have, Nash, I'm going to have to talk to you on private, too, but I may have something going on. I'm trying to work something out. Me and a friend of mine, and we're trying to get this little production company going also. With
Let's go. You know how we do.
See if we can get some things going on, do some gigs locally, and possibly maybe even in New York too. So I have some things that's coming up. I'll keep everybody posted. And you know me, I'm freelance. I'm playing here, playing there. So, you know, I'm just kind of relaxing right now.
So
I'll keep everybody posted as the shows continue, and I'll let everyone know of the things that's coming up. But
we have
that's getting ready to shine, hopefully, so see if this works out.
And just to let some of our listeners know, you listen to the Man Up Talk Show, we want to congratulate Brother Eddie Fairley. He'll be starting his talk show next month. Am I premature with that, brother? Or is it safe to say?
No, actually, we'll be starting on the planning phase and everything the second week of May. We will be working on concluding how the show is going to be and all that fun thinking stuff that we're going to have to do before recording and getting people that are going to be on the show and everything like that. So, yeah, we will be starting next month.
It is a TV show, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Brother Eddie's doing some big things. We, of course, here, his other brothers here on Man Up Talk Show, we support him. And we will be making our trip down there, brother, so don't get it twisted. We will bum rush the TV show. Don't come in to support. So, I mean, anything else going on, Brother Eddie? You want to tell the listeners?
Honestly, with my son being born on Monday, the bare minimum, of course, I'll be doing my speaking engagements. I have several radio shows that I've been invited to do down here in Virginia. But for the most part, honestly, the thoughts of the day, they never stop, and people are loving them. And talking about that brother, talking about with that whole sphere of success, I mean, people are counting on me to put a relationship thought of the day on my website or on Facebook by 2:30 or 2:45, getting text messages and emails. So accountability, like I said to that brother, I can understand the fear of success and people expecting and wanting things, but I do it every Monday through Friday. So just visit my website, www.edwardfairley, that's F as in Frank, AIRLEY.com. I always update on radio shows and TV shows and interviews, as well as free giveaways on things or pieces that I might write. So just take advantage of that stuff. It's great stuff. You can go to the archives and read the other thoughts of the day from the thoughts of the days in the past. And again, it's the thought of the day section on www.edwardfairley, that's F as in Frank, AIRLEY.com, or just join me at the author Edward Fairley on Facebook or whatever. Just find me and take advantage of the free stuff that I give away. I'm an open book, and I just want to help as many people grow as possible. I come from a place of love, man. I love people, and I love to see people succeed and grow and overcome the things that I had to go through when I was younger. So that's it.
Once again, we'll thank everybody for tuning in. You can also check out my man Hassan Black and yours truly on www.shadowworlds.com. We bring some of the best mixtapes for you, party. So once again, we thank all the gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Guys, great job.
Thank you. Right. We appreciate y'all's ear.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good night. And all ladies and gentlemen, we'll see y'all next week. God bless always.
Bless you, brother.